Seminole Headlines is brought to you by Register Sausage, serving the Florida Panhandle and Lower Alabama for over 75 years. To find a store near you or to buy directly from Registers, head to registermeats.com. That's registermeats.com.
It's time for Seminole Headlines, featuring WarChant.com's Jeff Cameron, managing editor Ira Schofel, and senior writer Corey Clark. Your weekly dose of all things FSU, pistols, and pies starts right now. Here's Jeff Cameron.
The Seminole Headlines begins, as the man said, right now, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Corey is mugging for the camera. Stunning turn of events 5 seconds into the show.
And 30 seconds after you told him to not do that.
Yeah. Right. Well, hey, whatever.
Yeah, this hour brought to you, I figured that'd be the response, by our friends at Register Sausage, who are steady giving discounts, boys.
How about that?
What was the one this week?
When we all win, I mean, when Florida State wins, we all win.
He could have gone. He could have done something really outlandish because none of us thought there was a chance.
Well, I think the recommendation was somebody wanted 10% for turnovers, but they only had one turnover. But he said, you know what? I'm doubling it, 20%.
Bam!
With the promo code Mac Brown,
nice.
Which was a nice. Yes, nice little shot at the FSU alum who's never done anything wrong to FSU, by the way.
No, he loses FSU clearly.
He steady loses, and by the way, he also looked lost on the sideline Saturday. He looked off to me. That was weird.
Did you hear they had a players-only meeting on Sunday? Which is like, it's maybe the first time in 15 years that Florida State's forced another team to have a players-only meeting.
Yeah.
Like, usually that's what other teams do to FSU. Yeah.
Games end, and we're counting down the seconds to the players-only meeting. Nowadays, it's happening in other places.
North Carolina's like, wait a minute, what just happened? I did wonder, and I know we got to
Let's talk a little bit more about the greatness of Register Sausage.
Let's do that.
A little andouille, little
really
jalapeno
good
cheddar.
So you would tell everybody, safer if you're in Alaska, you're good to go, right? We can all get it. I would say to that, yay, sausage!
And if you're in Alaska, you're probably on the run
you're
anyway.
You're on the run.
You're eating human meat. You're eating humans. You're not eating sausage.
Whether that's your fellow campers, the guy you're on the run with, or
exactly
the
Something's
old lady
happen.
In a house that you had to
you
just
do what
take
you got
to
do in Alaska,
the last frontier. But yeah, anybody else? If you're in the obviously, if you're North Florida, man, the Publix over by my house, which is just still well stocked with all the goodness, all the different varieties of sausage. And if you live outside of the area or outside of Alabama, North Florida. You can order at registermeats.com. And I don't know if the promo code's – just try it. Mac Brown was the promo code, 20% off. And, man, you can't beat it.
Came up with a little jingle. Registers.
You came up with that on your own?
Yeah, it's pretty good,
it's well
right?
Done. Yeah.
How about –
might catch on.
I was thinking about – I was talking with Stephanie that the Liberty commercial
You're like
came on.
You're like the Vanilla Ice of jingles.
Right. Yeah, no, yeah. Did you hear the difference? There's a longer pause.
Mine has a longer pause.
Like imagine hiring someone to write your jingle if you own Liberty.
And they came back with that.
And they're like, hey, how about just we say your name 3 times, pause, and say it again? It's like, get out of my office.
It's usually that simple.
Yeah, it works, right? Like,
hey,
anytime I hear
about
Liberty.
Yay, sausage.
Yeah, yeah. And now Registers.
Turned into a monster.
Yeah.
But but going back to that game when I went back and watched the play, because Mike Norvell brought up the point yesterday, I guess I'm just going to say both of his names since I can't
you
decide.
Can. It's all right.
Go with Mike or Norvell.
Not coach, though. It's weird you don't go with coach with him.
Jefe. But, yeah, when he brought up the pass to Keyshawn Helton on the 3rd and 6, a little underneath thing. So I went back and watched it. I just want to see what the reads were. And when I watched it, watching the play before the end of that play and then the way North Carolina lined up for that next play, because I think they're up 10-0 at that point.
Yeah.
And seemed a little nonchalant. Like, I got to think, if you're North Carolina, I know that Florida State beat you last year, but if you're North Carolina and you're up 10-0 on this team and you've seen how they play on the road and you've seen how they played for much of this season – they probably were thinking, okay, man, we're going to just steamroll this team.
And then?
And then, like, 20 minutes later, they're down.
Uh-oh.
3 touchdowns.
Yeah, no, it was – by the way, I'm going to puff my chest a little bit. The first thing I brought up about the game to you when we were talking on the Sunday Smash was that I thought the most impressive moment was a 6-yard completion. And then Norvell brought it up yesterday, and that made me really happy because, in truth, it is the first time I've watched him do that, to stay completely calm in the pocket – completely calm in the pocket and go through progressions and never look nervous and then calmly deliver an accurate pass to an open crosser underneath route. I thought, oh my, what's happening here? And he did it again later in the game on another throw. That was far and away his best moment as a Noel, is the progression we saw in this game. Now, obviously comfortable with the game plan, obviously felt better health-wise. Obviously, they did a good job of running the football and staying ahead on first down, and that helps keep the pass rush off them. It's also the best game our offensive line's played. So a lot of things came together. A lot of things came together, but he looked like a quarterback,
right.
Not a guy running around playing quarterback, but a quarterback.
I think that's the difference between what we had seen when I was on here last week talking about the numbers he had put up, and he had put up numbers. He always put up numbers, but it was
when you were on here, like you were a guest last week.
Yeah, when you guys had me on last week, you remember?
Yeah,
I thought I brought it. I really did.
Yeah,
and I was talking about you know he was putting up numbers. He averaged 34 points as a starter. They were 4-3 in those games, but even those offenses, like the Syracuse game, it was very hiccupy. It was 2-3 and outs, long touchdown. 2-3 and outs,
big play. They were big
plays. And he'd have a couple drives here and there, but there was also a lot of negative. This was the first time, really, from the start of the game to the finish. I mean, I guess we could count the first drive. I mean, they ran six plays in the first quarter. It was crazy. But after that first drive, they scored touchdowns on 5 of 6 possessions. Mm-hmm. And the one they didn't get, it was 3rd and 1. They went on to 3rd and 2, and he got a yard. So it just looked more like cohesive in – like, you see that. You see the way he played and the way they played as a unit, and you're like, okay, that can translate. That you, now you get excited because you've seen, I think, okay, I didn't know that was in Jordan Travis to complete 11 straight passes and not all of them just swing passes. That, to me, should get you excited if he can stay healthy. We'll say that a million times going into the rest of this year and going into next year. Is okay, that's in there. I didn't know that, as good as I thought he had played at times, I didn't know that kind of performance was in there.
There was no reason to know that that was in there.
But now that it's in there,
don't
you think that gives you a little more hope that maybe he can turn into that guy?
Yeah, and I do think what you said earlier, Jeff, is that, you know, a lot of things came together at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly, I do think that Kane Dillingham made the comment yesterday that a lot of times great athletes want to make something happen.
They don't want to make big plays with their legs.
It's hard to be patient. It's hard to be patient.
Like you were in high school. You're always trying to make plays.
I walk in the locker room. They have playmakers here.
Like, Jeff, you don't have to dunk everything.
Yeah, you don't have, you know, listen, sometimes it's okay to lay it up. Yeah. Or if you know, somebody's
you
got an open look, you can hand it off.
You don't have to dunk on two dudes.
No, you don't have to do that.
Just because they're 6'8".
Yeah, that's how you are.
But the fact that he kind of was like willing to, on that play in particular and other ones, not jump at the chance to make a play, but let plays come to him.
Develop.
That's something you hear more in basketball, but I thought it was really appropriate.
Also, running for a first down and then getting down.
Yeah.
Like, I think last year, he's taken a couple extra hits trying to get as many yards as possible.
I also think when you go back and watch, I watched it again because it was a joy to do so. This was not an arduous sort of
the way
you know, this
the way
was
you
actually,
usually go back and watch it.
Normally, I'm like, all right, guys, I got to sit and watch this again. Somebody bring Daddy a beer. This is going to be a tough tough watch. No, I watched it with great joy. For a lot of reasons, but one of which was I thought the game plan was exceptional. They didn't have the ball in the first quarter. And when they did, obviously they botched it. But once they got into a rhythm, you could really see what they were trying to establish. The biggest thing, and I've talked about this a lot, is you can't lose first down. They're not good enough to play from behind the chains consistently.
Right.
Because they can't block it up when they're in obvious passing situations. But North Carolina had to play them honest because they wouldn't lose first down. There was a whole lot of 2nd and 7s. 2nd and 6s,
yeah.
And that allows you then to decide to run pass. So they got to play you honest. And I thought that once Jordan really realized, oh, that pressure that I'm so used to seeing in my face isn't coming because we're winning on first down and this line's blocking well, then he really did begin to trust it a little bit more. And the more success he had, success begets success, and you're able to continue it down the line. That is, for now, what they're doing. But they were all really kind of half the field reads.
Well, I think
they're all half the field reads, which means, by the way, this is not a knock on him. This is the progression of a young quarterback. So when you got a guy who hasn't started a lot of games and you haven't been able to protect him, he's a little gun shy, and he's still got to get a lot better as a quarterback. But you make it easy for him, and they did that. And when he succeeds there, then you add more to it. So from here, they'll be able to add more.
Yeah.
If he shows that he can get to his 2nd and 3rd read consistently, they'll start adding. They aren't even scratching the surface of this play.
How about Norvell? He said when he's talking about that play, he's like, that was a real play.
That's a real play. He's admitting, we've had to just kind of Mickey Mouse this thing for a while.
We've had to rely on him just doing some stuff.
And we got to give them credit for coming up with the game plans the last 2 weeks that he felt comfortable with, he felt good about, and he could execute. we also, again, go back to, man, what the heck were you guys thinking in the first couple games of the season? You know, because it seemed like to me, even when he was in the game, they were trying to make him into something he wasn't. Like, they were trying to have him operate the full.
But I maybe, think it's because they thought he threw the ball well in
he
practice.
Did, he did throw the ball well in practice. Yeah, he did
they
throw the ball.
They didn't know that he would panic.
Well, but I think you've got to – you need to give him an opportunity to get that confidence in games.
Sure.
Not just in practice. I'm not, you know, I'm not going back to rip them. I'm just saying that's a, that was a miscalculation. And I think I'm glad to see they figured it out, and they figured out a way to make him.
And it coincides a little bit too with having certainty with who's starting the game. Yeah. You know, I mean, they've had those two guys early on. It was hit and miss who made practice, who could be there, yeah. who could. How do you install with a guy that's not there, and then he's ready to play in the game to a certain extent? I mean, they didn't know just how limited Mackenzie Milton would be in terms of physically not being able to play. I mean, I feel bad for Mackenzie Milton, but the bottom line is at some point, probably when he just fell down over air, they realized, oh, it's not coming back. I mean, he just can't step into throws and make the plays that he used to make. It's a shame, but that was a devastating injury, and he's not – clearly he's not all the way back.
Yeah. What's funny, too, about that is, like, looking at the – everybody talking about the offensive line not giving up any sacks, and when was the last time that happened? It's probably been a minute. But a lot of that has to do with the dude back there. Like, they don't rush as hard, and he avoids sacks. Like, they got sacked six times against Louisville, right? And two of them were the guy just spinning around and falling on himself. This guy changes everything because of just his presence. You know, it just changes.
Well, he can make you miss. He makes the first guy miss.
But they know he can make you miss, so they defend you differently.
Also, because you're establishing read option stuff, that zone read stuff. Yeah.
But it works with him.
Yeah,
Mackenzie Milton
him.
Can hold it as long as
no,
he wants. He's, it doesn't matter.
He's
that defensive end is crashing.
And the fact that he will keep it, as opposed to like DeAndre, who would never keep it. Here, have it.
Yeah.
Interesting topic on that, though, and this is kind of a diversion, but we'll get back to talking about how good Jordan Travis played. But on the Mackenzie Milton topic, I did a show out of Orlando, and the guy, he brought up a good point. He's like, do you feel like because of what Mackenzie went through, people are like treating him and his performances with kid gloves, and particularly the six-sack performance, that game? And I think it's true. I do think it's true. I do think we didn't go after him the way we might have if somebody else had done some of the things he did in that game. But I think the reason is because we do know the backstory, whereas most of the time when things – I'm not saying we should rip him. I'm just saying it's something to think about when we rip other people because we don't know what they've overcome. You know, we know what Mackenzie overcame, so that's why you're going to give him a pass.
Well, I do feel like that game, maybe on the whole that point is correct. But I think after that game we all said, okay, well, this thing, I mean, he
I just
can't
don't
play.
Think to
I mean,
the
we
same
did talk
degree.
About the kids falling over air.
I just don't know about
probably
the same
not.
Degree.
I mean, but yeah, I mean, it was a that'd be weird. Nature, yeah, though, it'd be kind of inhumane to be like, this is slappy. What's he doing falling all over himself? Get somebody in here that can play when we all know what his backstory is.
Yeah, I do feel like, I don't know, I feel like we criticized him. I just don't think we piled on because we understood that they were trying to see if we could get back
and
from injury.
Quite honestly, the worst game that he played, the worst game the offense played by far, was the second game. It should have never come. But we were so rightfully
mad at
the last play of the game that it almost overshadowed. We still talked about how bad the offense was.
But they
was.
Also treated it like a scrimmage with all the goofiness.
Yeah. And nonsense.
Knew, yeah, that was on the coaches.
They'd be 3-3 right now, baby. They'd be going to 4-3.
Yeah, we don't want
to
do this.
All right, sorry. I can't help. I can't stop
you're
myself
do, you're
sometimes.
You're going to do it over and over again. They would be 4-3 is what they're going to be, is what they, had they won that game, because they're going to beat UMass.
Mm. I do like the – I mean, I do think, and I wrote about this morning. People can read it at warchant.com. We talked about it yesterday with Norvell. The idea of the difference between this North Carolina game and last year's North Carolina game. Because last year, I forgot that they gave him a Powerade bath after beating North Carolina last year, too.
Yeah,
and
we're hanging on for
you know,
your life.
And I went back and watched that press conference last night to see – like, what was Norvell like after that game? Did he feel like, okay, we've turned the corner or not? And I don't really think he did. What he praised them for in the game against North Carolina last year, and I think this is important because last year they beat North Carolina and then went and got curb stomped by Louisville and NC State and Pitt.
Pitt was on the list.
And so
did whatever they wanted.
Did they think they turned the corner last year? And I went back and watched, and he was like, he praised them for their energy. He praised them for their believing in themselves and giving a shot. But he never praised them for how clean they played and how they executed, whereas this game was much more about execution.
And this was pretty methodical. They dominated North Carolina from the second quarter on.
Yeah.
And North Carolina looked like a team that wanted to be anywhere but there.
Like dominated them kind of physically, too.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. Beat them up. Beat them up on the line of scrimmage. It was great to see.
You know what? Do you need to go to a break?
We should.
We can go to a break.
I don't know if it's I need to. Seminole headlines.
Do you need a break?
All of us, the collective, needs to go to a break.
Last time I was on here, I didn't know if you needed
a break. No, I'm good. Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV continues in a moment.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
Something else stands out as well, and that's how much slower Mike Norvell talks after a win, like in the press conference that we just had. He was absolutely relaxed. And I think it's because, again, he saw kids who continued to believe and prepare and go out and execute a game plan and win a football game. He doesn't seem so, I don't know, on edge. The frustration would, of course, mount when you're losing football games. And, you know, he's certainly aware that fans are angry and all of that other stuff. But I think it's more about getting these kids, trying to get these kids to a place where they could go do that. And then when they do that, that's usually a telltale sign that for as much as this team can win, they'll give themselves that opportunity. Now, they're limited. We know what they are. They are limited. But they're now in a place where I think he knows that there has been a payoff for all that hard work, right? And those kids, and when that happens, man, you get a taste of that. We talked about it after the Syracuse game. Was there anything that you could use to piggyback off of with that win? Only that feeling, right? Only that it feels good to not get your head kicked in. It feels good to win a game because you work hard in football. This is a brutal game. Practices are really tough. You spend, it's a year-round game. You spend all that time, and to not have a payoff in the way of a victory, it can get very, very demoralizing. So that the fact that they stuck with it, got a win, and then they followed it up with another win with an even much more impressive performance, now he knows, okay, he's got a group that stayed locked in, continued to sacrifice, got the reward. I would presume that you're going to see that each week.
They're coming for UMass now. Coming for you, Walt Bell.
Yeah, come get it.
What would be cool, because we haven't seen it around here very often, even when Florida State was down before, usually what happens is teams – motivation becomes such a big part of it. We talk about bowl games all the time, mm-hmm. but it's not just bowl games. A lot of times it's late season games. It's how you feel in October, November when your season hasn't turned out the way you hoped it would be. And Florida State right now, if things are heading in a better direction, if they can continue this execution and they found something on offense and the defense has started to settle down, and then you get into this later portion of the schedule where you play a Miami that probably isn't real fired up about practicing anymore. Their quarterback just packed in for the season.
Called it a day.
You're 2-3. I mean, just things are going in the wrong direction for you. How motivated are they going to be in the second half of the season?
Glad they scheduled Alabama, though, to start the year. That works out for everyone.
That's down the road.
No, I'm saying Miami.
It worked out
for them. Yeah, really, really smart. Really smart guy.
Did he get hurt in that game?
Who knows?
The whole team really got hurt coming into the season.
No, and they said he was 100% healthy. Right. He hasn't looked the same all year. And, of course, they didn't play well in that game, and then they got beat at home by Michigan State. They basically eked out a win against Appalachian State. They haven't had much to hang
their hat on. How much credit do I – if this team ends up going on an 8-game winning streak to close it out.
Which is probably what's going to happen.
I mean, I don't see how it doesn't at this point. They're starting to feel good. How much credit do I get for that question?
Debating. So I was actually going to ask this. Do we think it's that or Mark or Corian showing up at practices? Because that's been the last couple of weeks, too.
I feel like it's more me asking Norvell, what are you telling these recruits? I think that's what got it. It changed the whole tenor of the
So they won at North Carolina because you asked them about recruiting?
Well, look, I asked them about recruiting 12 days prior.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, galvanized everything.
Yeah. At that point, he shut the doors and let his team
locked
know.
The doors. Lock the doors.
Corey
that's
Clark's
what he said.
Out here asking about recruits.
Yeah.
That's what you guys, that's what this
that's
is
what
about.
It's come down
that's
to.
What it's come down to.
Yeah, he's asking
Let's
what I'm telling
recruits.
Let's
shut that a-hole up
yeah.
this Saturday.
Whatever it takes, man.
Yeah,
whatever
yeah.
it takes. I feel like that was a four-minute diatribe that seemed to rally the spirits of
it
the fan base.
It is a good thing that they won the game against Syracuse
yes.
that they narrowly won, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, they had that control. That was never in doubt. It was never in doubt. And then they went and did what they did in North Carolina. I'm starting to feel like, okay, we might be onto something here.
Before North Carolina, he's in the locker room. He's like, did you see how they insulted you? And they're like, the 18-point spread. No. That Corey Clark.
Yeah, remember,
he's asking questions about recruiting.
7 days, yeah. five days
nuts.
Ago, 12 days ago, he asked me about
I
that.
I never thought we would arrive at this point.
Hey, man,
fellas,
but yeah, that's
but
what
here
happened.
We are.
Hey, it's good to be a part of history. Like, when we're journalists, we're kind of on the outside observing it mostly. That's our job. We tell the stories. It's kind of cool to be in there.
You take it to a
kinda,
different level.
I kind of made it the story. I made a story, and now I've started a win streak. Neither one of you have ever started a win streak.
I was personally responsible for saving the program under Coach Bowden.
How'd you do that?
Got rid of him.
Okay.
Oh, man, so I'm just saying.
Soon.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
You ushered him out to get Jimbo, and that was really – who was that? Who was the booster? Was it Jim Smith?
Had, yeah.
And
you,
I did,
you
too.
Had a little, you had a little part in that, too, my
yeah,
man. You had
yeah.
a little some blood in your hands.
Yeah, that's
both
right.
of those guys did. I spent years.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, I was more of like a last month kind of jumping
yes,
on
yeah.
After the Jim Smith, mm-hmm. after Jim Smith and the Boston College game. But hey, here we are now. By the way, so you're a FinRoute guy. I'm going to bring this up each week.
Dude, he's a
well,
lives and dies
because
with
finally jumped on board.
But the thing is
he
like,
used to mock you.
Well,
oh, I don't know if he's mocking me. I think he's mocking anybody that uses
yes.
but I
statistical
think
information as opposed to their eyes.
Numbers.
Yeah.
It's a nice gauge to see how much, because we feel it, right? You watch this team and you're like, well, it is a better product.
Mm-hmm.
It's clearly better than it was last year.
Yeah, you'd like
year.
To define it if you
yeah,
can.
And last year was terrible. Last year was 3-6. It could have been 1-1. It was 3-8 at least if they played Clemson and Florida, and it would have been a bloodshed. So the last year in those efficiency ratings, they were like 103rd in defense. Right now they're 61st. Okay,
moving
you see
on
something
up.
Happening here?
Yep, there you go.
Nobody's saying it's a good defense because it isn't, but it's middle of the pack now as opposed to ghastly.
Let's get the plaque, boys.
And then the offense is
oh,
four.
Oh, I was just about
no,
to
the
say
offense,
it.
If you can get top 60, FinRoute, top 60, are you kidding me?
Top
that
50
should be a,
defense. That plaque is going up in the smoker's paradise.
That should be a
it's
wall.
Happening,
it
baby.
Should be a mural.
Boom.
if top 60 in both,
oh,
whoa, like a double plaque.
What are we doing here?
Yeah, have FinRoute come down and dedicate it.
60-60
yeah.
season.
What's his first name? Bruce? Is it Bruce FinRoute?
Henry.
Henry FinRoute. But and then the offense was like 87th
Jerry.
Last year. It's 48th yeah. right now. So it is moving up. In overall efficiency, they're like 50th in the country. Last year, they were 100th. So, again, I know record is the only thing that really matters, but our eyes aren't wrong. Like, this is a better product. They are a better team. They're not getting bludgeoned every week. And sometimes when you're looking for steps that are being made and the record is the record, you can say, all right, well, they are making steps. They should be a 500 football team. They lost two games on the last play of the game. They also won a game on the last play of the game.
Right. But
they're about a 500, a 6-6 football team.
And
last year, they were 1-11 type football team.
And trusting your eyes, coming out of that game last Saturday, Corey, you were there.
Mm-hmm,
we watched
I was.
It on television.
I couldn't see anything,
but,
and my binoculars were terrible. So y'all had a better view.
But
did they have tomahawks on the helmets?
I mean, I assume. Yeah, they
yeah,
definitely
yeah,
have.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
all
right, yeah.
go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, they
go
won't
ahead.
Go away now. I just don't think at the beginning of the year he won't
right.
give them until they win a game. But the eye test, I mean, that was the best you felt about a Florida State win
yeah.
since
mm-hmm.
when?
Their only yards were really Howell running around.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, that's
and
the
by
only
the
way,
way
they extended
you can't
drives.
Take away – I want to answer the crowd that's like, what are we going to do? When are we going to stop these quarterbacks from running the ball? Well, listen, they're playing coverage on the back end, guys. I mean, they're taking away a lot of what North Carolina wants to do. If Sam Howell beats you because he runs around, then so be it. And he didn't. And he wasn't going to. He had a couple long runs. So be it.
Yeah.
That's fine. You can't take away everything. There's
not,
going to be
you're
something
not, You're not Georgia.
you can't take
do
away
it.
Everything. Yeah. You don't have the linebackers for that necessarily, and you got to choose to take some
I would have liked
away.
Them. There was one in the third down in the second half where it was like third and four, and they went empty. And it's like, this is going to be a run. They is going to run
well,
here.
But they also made a big play in the red zone because they knew he was
right.
going to quarterback draw,
yeah.
and they crashed intentionally.
Yeah, Deloach made
took
a,
away the middle.
Deloach made a nice play,
yeah.
and then Knowles bats it out in the end zone. That,
yeah.
yeah, you saw him grow a little bit. I'd have liked him to be a little more, you know, a little more recognition there. This is probably a quarterback draw. They haven't been empty all game. This is probably going to be a quarterback draw. Let's go.
I still think. I mean, listen. At the end of the day, North Carolina can move the ball.
Yeah,
they
they're
have
good
weapons. It's not a terrible team. I mean, They have better players than Florida State, and they got thoroughly outcoached and beat up physically. There's nothing to complain about after this
game. Can you get the Downs kid to transfer?
That would be great.
Howell's bouncing. He just saw what Jordan Travis can do.
It would be great.
Did you see how Jacksonville State – I know you brought it up on Wake Up – how the Jacksonville State went on probation for tampering with a transfer? Like, it wasn't like
one
call.
They should vacate that win. Give that back, baby.
In season, we get that win back.
I want to know who it was. I don't know if it was quarterback. I don't know who it was. But anyway, whoever the kid was, they released the information. This assistant coach on their staff was communicating with this kid who was at another Division I school for like 12, 18 months.
Jeez.
Like,
desperate. What you doing tonight?
Hundreds of phone calls and emails and before the kid finally went in the portal. Which is awesome. I mean, it's, you know, it's like, man, if you're going to do it.
Yeah, he's all in.
Go for it.
You would have seen Coach Cameron coming across the field to shake Mac's hand, and then you would have seen me put my arm around Downs.
Yes.
And I would presume it would have looked like I was telling him that he played such a great game.
Yeah.
But it would have been an extended conversation to the point where other Carolina assistants would be like, hey, man, what are we doing over here?
Hey, can I not just talk to this
guy? Hold on, I'm talking to him. I really admire him as a player. He's an amazing player.
You slide him a piece of paper, and they're like, what was that? That's just a motivational
message. It's an email address.
It's a Bible verse. What are you worried about? Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV continues in a moment. How you doing there, podcasters? Good. Good to hear it. Listen, if you're wondering, for a good place to eat, watch a game, have a cold beer, enjoy a lot of choices, we suggest Horizons Bar and Grill.
Maybe even run into us.
You and I especially.
Yes.
I'm there once a week, I think. When I'm in town, I'm there. Stephanie and I are there. Great place. Cold beer, hot women, everything you want in a I probably shouldn't have said that.
Hot beer and cold women at some bars.
Whatever you're into.
I like the good-looking ladies, too. That's all right. But even if that's not your thing, I'll be there. I'm a good-looking guy.
And we would all agree, great food. Legitimately
the most
good
important
food.
Part of this ad is the great food.
It's great food. They got TV, sports bar. They got the vibe, but beer, food, everything you could want. And most importantly, again, other than the food, is that there is at least, I'd say, a 35% chance one of us would be there.
And you get the mac and cheese bites.
And you can get those shrimp tacos, which are the king. You've gotten healthy on me lately.
I eat the hummus.
Who eats
really
that?
Good.
He does. At Horizons
Bar and
Grill.
I didn't know I like hummus. Maybe I don't, but Horizon's got some great hummus.
But you look for them on their website. You can see their happy hour specials. Just a great place to hang out. And it's and if you want to like a little upscale dinner, you can go in there for that as well. It's at Bannerman Crossing at the right off of Thomasville Road in Bannerman up there on the northeast Tallahassee.
Tell them Headlines sent you.
Well, the important thing is support the people who help support Seminole Headlines. That's Horizons Bar and Grill. And thanks for listening to the podcast.
Woo!
Seminole Headlines is brought to you by Register Sausage, serving the Florida Panhandle and Lower Alabama for over 75 years. To find a store near you or to buy directly from Registers, head to registermeats.com. That's registermeats.com.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
Questions will be good this week, guys. I'm looking forward. I took a sneak peek.
Yeah, I might have got a little late on that.
Yeah, I saw you got about an hour ago.
A little late start. Yeah,
about an hour ago. Right before we got here.
I'm tired of the stale Facebook questions Corey gets for 2 days. Yeah.
Hey, man, I've been doing a good job of 50-50 this thing.
Well, I don't feel
like you dropped the ball.
I don't feel like it should be 50-50 this week since Twitter's been that question's been up for, I don't know,
35
minutes.
Getting the freshest.
By the way, I didn't tell y'all. A guy emailed me. I wish I remembered your name. I can't. He saw me open up my phone on here, and it was a pretty easy password.
Use your passcode.
It was 123456. That's what I just tried to make it easy.
And he told you not to
do that. And he's like, hey, man, just know when you're on. And he said he was ex-military.
Man, he picked that up quick.
Yeah, well, I didn't make it. What a real tough code.
No, but I'm saying my man is looking.
Yeah. And I have changed it now, and I was about to do it again as we started. I was about to unlock my phone. I'm like, I don't want to do that. I don't want that on the record. Now,
that also shows an obsession. You need to break it.
What?
I mean, there's no reason to be grabbing your phone.
You're right.
Why don't you just live with your existential fears?
Okay.
Go ahead and let those bounce around a little bit in your brain.
So I've made it a little harder now. And you'd still have to get my phone for the passcode to matter, right?
I don't know, man. Let's not invite that kind of help.
Sorry.
Let's leave that alone.
Of course, so you might go to the Georgia game?
I might go to the Georgia game.
So
I'm thinking
we
about
discovered
it.
Something during the break. The team that he most cares about, clearly, the Atlanta Braves.
Right. Yeah.
because he won't even watch the game, and then he hides behind this ridiculous ruse.
Well,
the game is not what it used to be.
Well,
why
put myself through it? And so what I do, I drove down during the game yesterday, and I just drove down. I listened to podcasts.
You didn't even listen to your team shutting out the Brewers, just dominating the Brewers?
No, I turned it on for literally two pitches.
Had to check the score, didn't you?
And he gave up a double down the left field line to make it second, third, nobody out. And I'm like, well, there you go. It was 0-0 until I started listening. And now they got second, third, nobody out. And so I just stopped listening.
This?
And I pay attention. I'm in group texts. So they'll be like, somebody's like, jock, with an exclamation. Yeah, I'm like, oh, that sounds good.
That's good.
That's probably good.
Hey, so by the way, this is what happened to my stepdad. And I've watched this. This goes with age. You're like the commercial where the guy's trying to keep you from being your parents. So my stepdad, I've said this on the air before, UF law grad, he's a Bull Gator, he's a diehard Gator. He can't watch them play. I'm like, what the hell? Is this what we become? Like, you can't watch your team play? If I ever get to the place where I can't watch Florida State play a game,
I was close a couple weeks.
For different reasons.
We all were.
That's for different reasons. He can't watch because of nerves.
Right, right.
He gets so nervous, he won't watch even a play. And then he'll ask my mom to go in and tell him what the score is. Like, watch the damn game. You're a grown-ass man. An old man. What are we doing?
Did you see the video of the Texas A&M kicker's mom?
No.
In the stands? Like, they had a...
Now, that's different.
I get it, but it was just cool to watch her. But, you know, she kind of was, like, going through the whole... Looked like she was going to have labor. I mean, she was going through all this stuff before the kick.
And the woman next to her wasn't even looking. The woman next to her had her hands in her head and just waited to hear the crowd.
But what was awesome about it was after she, like, he kicks it, they're so excited, and then the mom sees, like, people streaming on the field. Dude, she hops that wall
she's on the field.
Let's go! That was awesome. Yeah, and no, then, hey, now, then, I did would
you see,
say...
Did you see Saban coming off the field? It looked like Coach K when FSU fans.
Oh,
yeah,
he can't stand it.
He's like cowering.
Yeah.
Like they've got security.
Like they're going to try to harm you. Yeah, like anybody cares about you, Nick.
That would be funny. What's up, little guy?
Yeah.
All those cadets? All those cadets come over and start,
it would be great.
Start putting their arm around.
No, I get if your kid was the kicker.
Right.
And kickers, that's a toughie.
Can you imagine?
That is
a toughie. Can you imagine?
Yeah, that would be tough. My stepbrother, one of them was a kicker, and my mom and Bob were, I think they struggled for that because he was a good kicker.
Yeah.
But, I mean, rolling out there to kick a 50-yarder when your team's down two, that is – I would have a harder time with that than if my kid were the quarterback. I'd rather watch my kid as a quarterback. He's involved on every play.
Yeah.
You know, it's just play to play. You learn to deal with it. But, no, not being able to watch the Braves strikes me as incredibly
old.
Well,
I can watch them.
Sit down and enjoy it.
I'd rather listen to podcasts on the ride. And then today when they play at 5, I'll probably be on a walk. I'll check the score. And if it's close in the 7th inning, I'll turn it on. But
we all do the thing, even in our childhood, where – if the mojo's not going the way we want, you change the channel.
And it never goes.
And then you come back.
It's not like I turn on the Braves a lot and, we hit another grand slam. Oh, there's another one. It's always pain and anguish.
Yeah, but
so I'm trying a different tact. I'll go to the Game 7 of the World Series.
Dude, the Brewers can't hit. You guys can pitch. You're going to win this series.
Don't get that. I'm really rooting for the Giants because the Braves could actually, I think, beat the Giants. They have no chance with the Dodgers, in my opinion. I don't think they can beat the Dodgers.
But then you said that about the Dodgers before, and the Dodgers didn't.
They still beat the Braves. But, yes, it was.
Easily.
Yeah. It was 4-3.
But you thought they were unbeatable.
Yeah, you're right. So, no, I'm always a pessimist.
Little bit.
You guys, I mean, again,
bit.
Atlanta's done that to me. Atlanta has done that. Y'all don't understand.
But you watch the Falcons every week,
Tampa
and they're ass sorry.
Y'all win championships all the
time.
That's
all we do. It's all we do these days.
You don't understand.
Yeah.
Atlanta fans, we don't. I just watched the 95 World Series on a loop. It's the only joy I have ever gotten.
How'd you like the Jumpman celebration from Pokey Wilson?
It was the best.
That was awesome.
And I caught it in real time. A lot of people didn't catch it right away. I caught it right away. I remember laughing. I was like, there's my man. That's what we do.
And that's where I'm, you know, because we tweet, like from the War Chant account, I was like tweeting the scoring updates or whatever. And so as soon as he scored, I think I went to tweet about it. So I missed it. And then.
Oh, it was great.
That was awesome.
Yeah. I couldn't see it. I wasn't even sure who caught it.
Really didn't do you much good.
Well, it did. It was cool.
Deluge.
I got to take Brady and Stephanie. Brady got to meet Devin Travis. We toured Duke's campus.
How did he meet Devin?
Brady knew what he looked like. And so he's like, that's Devin Travis. He told Stephanie that before the game. He was sitting talking with fans. And I'm like, well, hey. And he didn't want to go bother him. I'm like, well, if they win, go down and introduce yourself, tell them who you are, that you're Corey Clark's son, and, you know, you'll get the –
Well, I mean, at that point, Devin may ask for his
office. Yeah, he might take you home with him.
He'll take you in the locker room.
Yeah, so that's how it worked. But it was cool, man. It was a really cool trip for Brady and Stephanie. And a good win. Who would have thought that was coming? I would have thought in a million years. And it didn't now, really rain that much.
Now it's like, it's funny. It's like a great shirt, an old shirt that you found that you forgot you had. And you're like, oh, this, I love this shirt. And you put it on. It's so comfortable again. And you just ease back into it. How quickly we were kind of like, oh, well, now we could win six games. I mean, all this, of course, these fans teams are beatable. Like, put that
these
shirt
teams
back
are beatable
on. Like,
now.
Man, I don't know. Yeah. It was more and more like we're going to a bowl.
I don't know. Which bowl? That's the only question.
I don't know that I've gone into a game expecting them to lose that much. And then I mean, the
it's
BYU
never happened.
Game
you saw
back
my
in the
story.
Day.
It's never happened.
Not
in our lifetime.
Not because North Carolina is great, but just how bad they've been.
Well, and
on also
the matchup, what didn't seem
the
to
matchups,
be a good matchup.
I mean, there was just, I sat down to watch that game thinking, this is just going to be, and it was 10-0. I'm like, oh, this is exactly what I thought it was going to be. And I saw a lot of people on Twitter, people I know, friends of mine, who were like, yeah, I'm not watching this today. Like,
yeah.
They're just,
okay, yeah,
check
see?
Out.
Like no, me but with the Braves.
No, but I go into it with, in this case, the Braves are good, first of all, stop it. Secondly, I go into it with zero expectations, or I have been with Florida State. We were just talking about this last week, Tom and I. I was like, man, I don't sit down and go, all right, I'm ready for us to stomp that ass. I've got a mountain of evidence
to suggest. You don't get nervous. You're not like nervous,
I know
like, oh,
what's
man,
about
we need to win.
At 10-0, I hadn't yelled one time. Oh, when we jumped off sides on fourth, that's
that
really kind of
if you watch that again, I'm not sure he actually jumped off
sides. I almost tweeted that.
I'm
not sure he went in the neutral zone.
He moved. But I don't think he crossed the line. They just saw him move.
Yeah. Well, they never give Florida State the benefit of the doubt on those calls anyhow. But, yeah, so what I would say is at 10-0, I hadn't even yelled at the TV. My wife walked by. I was like, she's like, oh, it's 10-0.
You're
not
just
mad.
Thinking, this is how
I'm like, this
be.
Is what happens. This is, I mean, no, it's what I expected.
FSU's actually played pretty well defensively, and they've given up 10 points on two drives.
She heard a very loud, that's what I'm effing talking about, when we went up 21-10 because we were playing like men at that point. Mm. Not just because we had answered and done – and then also – I did get loud when we answered the score in the third quarter.
That
when was it
was
21-17, we went down and made 28-17. Yeah. I said a lot of expletives about what kind of ass-kicking was about to happen. Because I could see them; they were rising up like men.
Rising up like the Falcons.
They were anteing up like men.
Yeah.
But it was beautiful.
Playing like men, though, on that topic.
Yes.
Last week, when we were – last week, in the days leading up to the game, we were talking to somebody on offense. I think it might have been Trayshawn Ward. Somebody on offense about the game. And they said something along the lines of, yeah, man, Coach Norvell and Coach Dillingham, they just told us this is a game where we're going to run right at them, be more physical than them. And at the time, you hear a Florida State player saying that.
You're like, okay.
I'm not even writing that.
Because, I don't want to put you out there like that.
But that's exactly what they did. Yes. I mean, they were much more physical.
Yeah, they actually physically moved North Carolina's
defense. They ran
off
for 250 on them. Yeah. And it wasn't all. I mean, a lot of it was Jordan Travis, but it wasn't all Jordan Travis.
No.
And that run by Ward at the end. I mean, come on now.
There was a whole lot of what for there.
Yeah, man, he's got all that in him.
I also am glad Coach Norvell brought it up, and he was right.
The play before.
I'm like, man, the one thing you can't do is run out of bounds
there. You know, he shouldn't ever.
But they kept running the clock
because
it doesn't. Yeah, he cost them 10 seconds. He didn't cost them 40,
right?
Which I thought was the case, but I guess it doesn't start till the final 2 minutes.
The final 2 minutes.
So he actually, well, Trayshawn knows
what's
up.
No, he didn't know. He didn't know.
Trayshawn, those
extra yards. And by the way, Jordan told him when he came from the sideline, you could see Jordan walk over. I don't know if you go back and look at it, you can see Jordan walk over like, don't go out of
bounds. I hope Trayshawn just said, give me the ball, man. Shut up. I'm about to ice this thing.
Well, here's the thing, man. How many times has Trayshawn Ward or anybody in this team been
in a
situation like that?
Yeah, to try to ice a win?
Remember the play when Chris Thompson slid against USF?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, like, Jimbo was euphoric?
Yeah.
But the first
showed
time.
Showed awareness and everything.
Or when they first got in those situations, they wouldn't do that. But
you remember, it was at Maryland. Nick Moody had, like, a 95-yard interception return, and Jimbo's, like, screaming at him to get down.
The only way they can get in is if you score.
But Moody was having no problem.
And, by the way, I'm scoring this,
absolutely.
Too.
I'm
taking that to the house. I
I'm
got my
throwing
hand
the ball.
My hand. I may even dribble it in at some point. I mean, there's no chance that I'm not scoring at that point. It's hard to score touchdowns.
Yeah, man, I couldn't believe Chris Thompson did that. I'm like, man, go score,
Chris.
Chris
has scored a lot of them. Nick Moody had not scored a lot of touchdowns.
You're right, good point.
Yeah.
Moody wanted his.
Yeah, I'm getting my seven.
And if I was Jimbo, I probably wouldn't say too much to Nick Moody.
No,
that dude.
I don't know that anybody should.
Had some bad intentions.
Oh,
man.
And yes.
He was funny. He came back. He came back like 2 summers ago to Nigel Bradham has a youth camp down in Wakulla. And we went over
to
cover.
Two guys with evil intentions.
Yeah, on the field, no doubt.
Yeah.
And we were interviewing Moody, and he was getting involved in agriculture. Legal marijuana.
Legal agriculture, yes.
But, man, he had some awesome stuff to say about how the NFL treats marijuana, how it's always treated marijuana with players. But now, like, he was saying the NFL was getting involved in those
about to
businesses.
Make some money yeah. off of it. Yeah, of course.
Anyway, he's an outspoken guy who was it Jeff Demps that he hit?
I think he knocked his mouthpiece
out. It's one of my favorite hits.
Yeah, that was from the first time. That was Urban's first quit, right? Or that was his second quit.
Second quit.
Yeah, yeah. And then Urban, has Urban been in the news? I tell you what, Urban loves that John Gruden stuff.
Oh, man. He's
holy
like, thank
moly.
Goodness.
Urban
might have
leaked
ass.
It. Yeah, Urban might have leaked it.
Yeah, he's like, Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
Well, we were just having an interesting conversation there that we'll never see the light of day.
That's what we do.
It's what we do.
That's what John Gruden thought.
Yeah, well, it was... Yeah, that's what he thought. But we weren't talking like that. We were talking about the
badassness. Don't put us in
that category. We were talking about the badassness of Nick Moody.
Yeah.
And players that would lay the wood to you that weren't afraid.
The thing with Gruden, like...
Lay the wood to you, huh?
I was trying to move on.
Go ahead.
I was going to move on.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Go, all right. What are you going to move on to?
To John Gruden, man.
Oh, no.
Just
rather
quickly,
talk about Nick Moody.
just quickly. Like... I mean, obviously, the first thing you think is like, man, football coaches, especially from that age or we're older. I mean, imagine the stuff if they. So it's not like, I think that's the thing that's so frustrating from a big picture standpoint that we won't go too deep into this. But like, it's not like this is an isolated incident. It's just this is they have this dude's email. And when you think about what, you know, young, different people of different, you know, groups or races.
Yeah, backgrounds. Yeah.
Deal with. And then. This is a guy that controls.
In a position of power
over so many people from a different. You know, it's just like, it's just. I mean, that's got to be so infuriating. But on the other hand, it comes to light, and then you know, at least it comes to light.
Yeah, it came to light. I would also say that it is beyond all of the ludicrous things that are in those emails. It is insane to me that a guy that we would presume is reasonably intelligent.
Yeah, that was
even if you just had a knowledge of the politics of it, and I don't mean politics as in voting. You know, I'm talking about even if you were a closeted, bigoted, homophobe, misogynist, whatever, right? You would know enough not to put that in email exchanges, even if you just surface level have that conversation.
And even if you're not a head coach at the time,
right?
You're still working for an enormous company.
You would guess that's crazy.
But
you
I do think that is the thing to me about bigots, and we can move on. But the thing to me about bigots is usually they want other people to know that they're bigots.
Yeah, there's usually like a hint code word like
the like-minded want, people.
That's just the whole thing is kind of shocking, and yet. Given what
not
you mentioned,
shocking.
It's not too stunning. No, the good news is...
Get us out of that, Jeff.
Oh, I can, because we can just talk about us beating North Carolina. I could do that all day long, and I could talk about how great
what
it is
what Mac Brown's emails looked like after that game.
They're
emails coming to
they're
Mac
ugly
Brown.
For a different reason.
Yes.
Actually, that is an interesting subject, because I hinted at this earlier in the hour. I'm telling you, I mean, I'm probably doing too much of the sideline watching and amateur psychology stuff, but I'm telling you, when you look
We already got one of those on staff.
Well, but I'm adding to this, and we've always worked in concert on this day. He knows that I'm a body language guy
right,
in press conferences,
right.
And he does it with the binoculars, and he can tell us what's going on in sidelines. I'm saying, watching that interaction, the look on his face, the players really having no sort of give and take with him at all late in that game, something didn't sit right with me, and my thought was this. Okay, so this is already going to be a bitterly disappointing season for them, and I don't know how the rest of this is going to go, because we could see some laydown here from them. By the way, they got a battle of two teams on quit watch.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Miami and North Carolina.
Miami might get
quit watch 2021.
Yeah, that's what it is right there.
Miami might get them right. We'll see.
We'll see. But anyhow.
Where is that game?
I got to double check. I think that's not in Miami, but
ooh,
that's well, it's not, it's a hard place
ooh,
to play.
That's tough. That's gonna be tough.
There'll be 17 people there.
11 people there.
Yeah, and 11 of them will be in baby blue.
That, yeah.
Yeah. So the point would be, I am curious how the rest of their year goes and how quickly it changes from, oh my God, what a magnificent hire, they're on a path, to let's say they lose five games after they thought that they were preseason top 10.
With Sam Howell.
Now Sam leaves. And let's say next year they lose six games. How quickly that guy goes from being the belle of the ball to they're going to want to move on. They're going to want him gone. And for that matter, he may want to be gone. He may say, I'm not.
Well, man, look, you're about to fire a head coach that just won a national championship 2 years ago with one of the best offense in history. I know he doesn't get credit for it, but that's how quickly it was Cam Cameron. Why do I keep saying that?
Ed Orgeron?
No, who was the OC?
Brady.
Joe Brady.
Not Cam Cameron.
No.
Okay, we're on record. Cam Cameron wasn't the OC.
Or Kirk Cameron.
I bet he's got some emails. Holy moly, that guy.
He's a lunatic.
But so he's going to get fired after two years removed from winning a championship. That's kind of how it – you can't make your mind up on these coaches, it doesn't seem like.
Circumstances.
We kind of knew with Ed – I mean,
sure,
we saw what he was previous.
But people are singing his
praises.
And
boy wonder, Joe Brady comes in and – changes a career path.
But that's
obviously
how quick it can change.
Yeah,
and Mac Brown's on a similar path where it's like, wow, look what he did so quickly. And now Florida State fans, and rightly so the last couple of years, were like, well, maybe we should have hired that guy. Look what he did to that program.
I would argue, not rightfully so.
Compared to what had been happening,
you're like, well, that would have been better. That would have been better than this by far. But now you're looking at him like, okay, well, he just lost to two pretty not good Florida State teams in back-to-back years. Maybe he's not what we thought he'd be. It's just
got blown out by Georgia.
It's quick how that narrative changes, though.
You can't shake your head at he would have been a better hire than Willie Taggart. You can't shake your head
What is this? There's nothing you can tell me.
I guess he would have been better. Not much better.
But better.
Mac's not a great coach.
Right.
It would have been better.
This before. It would have been better, but whatever. It's not a great hire. It wouldn't have been a good long-term hire. We would have been going through this process again maybe a year later.
I bet he'd had all those safeties deep against Jacksonville State. Just saying, he's seen enough football.
You think he should have been here instead of Mike Norvell?
I'm saying if they'd have hired him, then he'd still be here.
My petty Saturday night ritual, which usually is like watching losing press conferences.
You love to do that and then go to boards where other people are arguing about their coach.
But I couldn't do it this week with Jimbo because he won.
I had to watch
Willie's press conference.
It would have been funny if he had said that in his press. Sorry. Well, is he mad that we won? Is he mad that we won again?
I had to watch Willie's press conference after getting beat by UAB. By the way, Nikosi Perry is his quarterback, by the way.
Yeah.
Nikosi Perry starts off that game with an interception. Next play, comes back, fumbles.
Later throws
another pick. He ended up with four picks in the game, and they get clobbered by UAB.
One of them a pick six, too?
Yeah,
like 100
one of them
a pick six. Well, look, man.
Right before halftime, because they started to get back in.
100
yards.
Yeah. That'll hurt your feelings right there.
That's tough. That's a game changer, I like to call those.
Shift in momentum.
Yeah.
got to hear Willie talk about it.
Did you watch Jimbo's press conference?
I did.
Okay, so you watch him even when he wins, too.
You know what? I'll tell you what about that. Last week, leading up to this game, I watched his coach's show.
Ira's digging deep.
Man.
You know, you watch
write
Netflix,
a book on the guy.
You
30 seconds, guys. 30 seconds.
You watch Netflix. I watch other coaches. But, it was interesting. He was very laid back. His coach's show last week, I was wondering how on edge he was going to be after losing two games. And he was cool as a cucumber.
I think he sometimes was cool after losses.
I think part of the problem in those losses in Mississippi State in the other game were probably a little bit focused on Alabama.
Yeah.
Because, man, he was cool going into that
game. Wrap it up.
Hour number two, forthcoming. Headliner questions. Hang tight.